The Bert Show.
6 months ago, had I seen this headline or seen this article, I would have just swiped right by it and gone on to something else. But Kristen turned me on to this TV show, The Bear, which has changed my life.
It's so stinking good. And I mean, you don't have to be a foodie to enjoy it. It's actually quite the opposite, because you were not a foodie. But the Bear, starring Jeremy Allen White, it's based in Chicago. I would label it a gritty comedy.
It is. It gets dark sometimes. This last season, man, dude's going through it.
Have you gotten to the Christmas episode?
I've seen them all.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's stressful.
Right?
You know, there are some TV shows you watch where they cut it. It's not only the volume of everybody's voice and the intensity of what they're talking about, but the way they cut the scenes also can stress you out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's how this one is.
So Jamie Lee Curtis plays Jeremy Allen White's mom, and she does a phenomenal job being crazy.
So if you're a new listener, when Kristen says that I'm not a foodie, that's a bit of an understatement. Most of my life, I just didn't care about food. Food for me gets me from A to B. I don't care about taste. I would rather drink than eat. Get me through it. Move on. I start watching the show.
It's fuel, not fun.
It's fuel, not fun. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Right. This goes under the underlying umbrella right now of me not enjoying the journey, just wanting to get to the destiny as fast as I can. Screw the journey. Anyway, when it comes to food now, so now I'm starting to get a little bit curious about it. Like, I don't go to like 5-star restaurants very often, just not my jam. Not exactly sure which fork to even use. They feel stuffy to me, and I just don't like food that much to even appreciate this little dot food that's in front of me.
I mean, Abby and I love food so much. We started our own little food critic review. Two girls, one review. So give us all the dot food. Give us all the phones.
Right.
Give us all the great ambiance. The overpriced beverages. We're in.
Well, we would prefer underpriced beverages, but for now, we'll take the $25 cocktails for the review.
So as I said, I would normally have just gone right over this article, but now it catches my attention because I think when I tell you what this profession is, which is one of the top 5 unhealthiest jobs in America, you go, I might still even take it. And that is being a food critic, which to you probably sounds like a great idea.
Heck yeah. I mean, like, Top Chef is one of my favorite shows. And I mean, it's essentially judges being food critics throughout the entire show. And I'm obsessed with it. I want them to come to our city so bad. I don't know why they haven't, because I feel like we have a little food mecca here. And I want to be a part of an episode in some way, somehow, even if I'm just going to one of their events so I can eat their food. I'm obsessed.
It's a miserable job. Being a food critic is a miserable job. And it's an unhealthy job. So this dude from the New York Times, I guess he's a very well-known, maybe he's like the Michael Jordan of food critics, Pete Wells, announced that he's going to be resigning from his job after like 12 years. He was one of these guys that gave reviews, but who obviously couldn't show your face, because if a restaurant knows you're in there, they're going to kiss your ass and make your food a little bit different, right? So now people know who he is. And he says that he is letting the industry go. For a lack of excitement for the job. He's apathetic about it, and he cited his poor health as the main motive for him taking off. All of this stuff, actually, I had no idea about food critics. He says, my scores, his health scores, he went to the doctor to get some blood tests, were terrible across the board. He says his cholesterol, his blood sugar, his hypertension, worse than he had expected, and even in his doomiest moments. Pre-diabetes, fatty liver disease, metabolic syndrome were all thrown around. He was technically obese because of how much food he had to eat. And then after he came out and he said, man, this job seems great to everybody else, but it kind of really sucks. Whole bunch of other people that critics that have left recently also said the exact same things. So the sheer volume of consumption that restaurant critics have to eat is really, really astounding. I didn't know this.
So they have to eat the whole thing?
More than the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
This is an article, I think, from the New York Times. Not only are they eating out daily, they're often taking down multiple meals on assignment and even doubling down on some. Another critic said he would go on back-to-back dinners more often than he cares to, like, admit. Another one said that they eat, I want to get down to this 36 one. This is the one that blew me away. sometimes they will have like samples of 36 different things on the menu before they actually get to the main meal that they're going to review.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I guess in order to be fair, like, it wouldn't be fair to a restaurant to have one dish and rate the restaurant on that one dish.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why you'd want to try as many dishes as possible before you either give them a superb rating or you like... You hold, and there's also so much power in a critic's hand, because if you are a well-known critic and a critic that people look up to, you could tank somebody's business.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Their career, like, for sure.
You can ruin their livelihood.
Yeah. You've seen Keith Lee do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Keith Lee, the viral food critic that he goes around the world and tries food from different restaurants. And like once he became super famous, it became a little more difficult for him to just go up in people's restaurants and eat.
Is that right? Sure.
If he gives you a bad review, it's a long day for you.
Some of these people saying I was obese. I didn't even realize it at the time. This guy, something Platt was saying, one of these critics also, that he's being treated for gout, hypertension, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes. It's like the last job you would want. And you have to eat out 6 times a week.
It would take the fun out of it. Yeah. Like, I love, part of the fun of going out to a restaurant, especially like for women, it's like getting dressed up and having a cocktail and enjoying time with your friends. And like the food just makes it better. But then to go and take that experience, which is normally people's recreation, mm-hmm. and make it your job,
right?
It would be miserable.
And they all are.
I have always wondered when you are watching Top Chef and they still have like quite a few chefs, like the show first starts out. And the judges have to eat every single one of their dishes. And I'm like, do you got a puke bucket back there or something?
It's fun when it's your hobby, not so fun if it's your profession, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Bingo. You're on The Burt Show.
Cassie got an email. She takes a look at this thing and she's like, ooh, no, we better bring in the professionals for this one. So we did. Jessica Hutchison is going to join us in a second. But this is an email about a mom struggling on how to have a conversation with her daughter about her daughter's weight.
Hey, Cassie. First, let me say I love the show and I always love your outlook on life. I need some advice on how to help my 19-year-old daughter, but to protect her, I'd like to stay anonymous. She's always been what the doctors would call, quote unquote, big boned. When she was 17, she was involved in an accident that broke her ankle. And also, she has really bad menstrual cycles and cysts on her ovaries. She and I researched some birth control and decided to go with Nexplanon. So I think that contributed to more weight gain. She's always been a size 18 in pants, and she has always been my beautiful princess. I've always tried to teach her body positivity. When her accident happened, she gained a substantial amount of weight. It could have been also the birth control or both. I'm not sure. She's now 19 and in college, and I'm super proud of her, but I'm so worried about her health. As of now, she weighs around 380 pounds. I do my best to encourage her to eat healthy and exercise, but to no avail. I've even purchased her a gym membership, and I've also offered to pay for gastric sleeve surgery, and she isn't having any of it. She's currently unemployed, and she has gone for a couple of interviews and didn't get the job, honestly, because I think she's being judged by her weight. Mm. I love her so much. Her health stresses me out more than her, and I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know how to help her, and I don't know what else to do. I want her to be living her best life right now and not have to worry about her weight. Please help from a concerned mom.
All right, so we're going to bring Jessica on here in just one second. Again, she's 19 years old. She's 380 pounds. So, Cassie, when you were reading this, what were you feeling? Because you've told us that you've struggled with body image your entire life.
Yeah, and you know, this one's tough because obviously I don't feel like I need to make this clear, but I'm not a health professional, but I've done a lot of talking to health professionals and experts about my own health. And there are some red flags here that are popping out to me. The menstrual cycles being off, the cysts on the ovaries. To me, those are both signs of polycystic ovarian syndrome. Having them doesn't mean you have PCOS, but it could be an indicator. And that's a metabolic disorder, which means, and an endocrine disorder, which means you're going to have trouble losing weight no matter what. And so I think that's where I find issues with this. It's so hard because as a family member, you want to reach out and you want your family members to be healthy. And there's no denying the correlation that weight has with health. Like there are, it puts stress on your joints and you can be overweight and be healthy, but also you can be overweight and know that you have increased risk of cardiac disease, stress on the joints, a multitude of other things. So I understand, but sometimes there's so much more at play than calories in versus calories out. And you have to think of the mental health of your kid. Are they dealing with some kind of disorder that stops them from losing weight? Are they depressed? Or is it truly they just don't want to go to the gym? Is it a life transition? And I think reading through that and thinking about all those things that happened in my life that contributed to my weight gain and struggling with it, I think that's where I'm like, this is a job for a licensed therapist.
Yeah, and Cassie's giving good emotional advice, but Jessica Hutchison, where do we even start with this one?
I mean, I don't know. I think you nailed it, Cassie. Like, you are spot on. And I agree with so much of what you said. Through my own health journey, I saw some red flags too with what she was saying just about from a hormonal standpoint. I 100% agree with you. Something's off there. And find the right medical professional to help you when it comes to women's hormones, because they are understudied, they are underfunded, and there's not a lot of people who know. So spot on there. I am going to answer this also as Jessica the human being a little bit here. There is one thing that really stands out for me in this email, and that's the accident that she had. I will get a little bit honest and vulnerable here. I was in a severe car accident when I was 16 years old that almost ended my life. It led to pretty significant depression. I was on the opposite end where I lost significant weight. But what we don't talk about is that depression is also significant weight gain or significant weight loss. So this piece really stands out to me, especially because she said she gained a lot of weight after the accident. And my first thought is there a mental health struggle going on here? You know, after my accident, it was, I didn't necessarily want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the depression of not wanting to live necessarily. So that goes two ways, where you can eat a lot or not eat at all. So I think she might need to talk to somebody, a mental health professional, for mm-hmm. sure.
Now, coming from a mother perspective, mm-hmm. if, you know, her daughter's an adult, technically, so yeah. she can't like drag her to the doctor's office or take her to a therapist's office. So how, as a parent, can you get across to your child who, in, you know, if they're 19, they're probably not listening to you anyway. There's that phase there of where like they know everything. Parents don't know anything. How do you navigate that conversation and try to like open their eyes to like, hey, you really need to take control of your life? Because even still at that age, and I know you know this, that frontal lobe is not fully developed, and you think you're invincible and you have forever.
My first thought here is that she hasn't had an honest conversation and a real conversation. It's a very positive email that she wrote in, and she's trying to get her daughter to do things. And my thought is, have you had a conversation about why you're trying to get her to do these things? I would sit down with her and I would say, I am afraid. I am scared. I don't want to lose you. My thought is that has not been the case because it's been all positive, right? I have a love hate with this body positivity culture that's going on right now, because I think it makes it harder to talk about, have serious conversations. It's like the toxic positivity of the freaking 90s that like really made it hard to talk about mental health. Same thing with body stuff. So you can have body positivity while also having a very real, honest conversation about your fears and what you're genuinely afraid of, which is losing your daughter.
Could it be like maybe, I don't know if she would receive this well, but it's like, it's not what I'm seeing on the outside. I'm worried about what's going on the inside that I cannot see with your body.
Well, yes, but I would speak more from her perspective as her mother. I'm terrified of losing you. I think so much of the conversation is, I see this and you're beautiful and you're wonderful and I love this about you. Okay, throw that out the door. What about what you're feeling and experiencing as her mother, mm-hmm. to give that perspective, which is different, right? It unguards people. When you're speaking from a place of what you're experiencing, the guard goes down. There's nothing to defend when you're speaking from your own experience. I think she needs to get a little vulnerable and a little honest here.
That's really good, Jessica. Thank you, Jessica. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
It's the Burt Show.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Craziness. Chris, because you more than anybody else on the show likes potty humor.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, it's right down your alley, right?
Dude, I get so many people sharing fart videos with me on Instagram. It's ridiculous. And everybody share me all the different animal farts. I've gotten that one like 20 times, so I'm good to go.
I think Mo and I share this. We are not the ones that
normally talk about farts. We don't really like talking about poop at all. We don't fart in front of our significant others. Nope. It's just, you know what? It just takes the intimacy right out of things. While 100%. There are others that are like, no, tell me about it. It makes me closer to you, right? All right, so I got an embarrassing one for you. So you've heard about these athletic greens?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody seems to be on right now, right? They're just greens that you put into, like, whatever. And it's, you're supposed to get all your vegetables and fruits and, like...
So it's not a green juice. It's actually, like, a powder that you put in
stuff. It's a powder and it makes it a green juice, right? Yeah. But it's all your veggies, like, in one little thing, right? Well, you know I have a very sensitive stomach.
Yeah, you do. You get a very sensitive tum-tum.
Super sensitive stomach. I can't believe I'm sharing this with you guys.
Bert has tummy issues.
Really bad tummy issues my whole life, which is why I don't like eating, right? So, and I certainly don't like sitting down and eating a whole bunch of vegetables. So put it in a scoop, I'm in. So I started taking this thing and I'm not proud to say this, but the gas that I have had.
Oh, really?
the gas that this has produced.
The stench or the amount?
Stench.
Such a specific question.
Well, I mean, those are two different things.
Like, this is not my butt.
Yeah.
This can't be my butt. This is almost like the equivalent of when you ever seen a dog fart and then have no idea what happened and looks behind him like, yeah. What was that? This is the smell equivalent of that. And it's been so bad. I have never had this happen before in my life. So... yesterday, I'm running some errands, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm in my truck by myself, so I fart in the truck, and it reeks in there. I'm like, what is going on in here? What is happening?
Who's in here with me?
So I park the truck, right? I get out. I go into Target. I'm in there for 15 minutes. I come back to my truck, I open the door, the fart is still there. How is that possible?
That's
15 minutes later, still like, hey, like open the door for me. Hey, come on back.
Wow.
Like I am never going to get lost ever again if I stay on this because I will just follow the smell of my butt.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever farted in the car and it stayed in there when I got back.
Yeah. Yeah, this was, it might have been two errands. I'm not really sure. It just wasn't going away.
So when you farted initially, you didn't roll the windows down to get rid of it or nothing?
You just sat,
I think
in,
I did.
Just
sat in it?
I actually think I did. Oh, yeah, okay. I think I put both windows down.
Oh, my God.
I think it jumped into the back seat and said, I'm going to hang out here for a little while. And then I rolled my windows up when I went into Target. And then I came back out and opened it up and hit me right in the face. So, I'm like, look at you still here.
Yeah.
Look at us.
It's a weird, proud moment. Moment when your fart is so rank, you have to roll the windows down in the car.
Proud, huh?
Yeah, it's only happened to me once, right? Because normally I can handle my own stench. It's actually like kind of comforting. It's like familial, you know? Yeah.
Is it really?
I don't mind. I like my.
Cassie's in the same boat. She's just slight, just a little bit less proud of hers than you are in this category.
No, I like it. Now, there are some times where I've got those kinds and I've cleared a dance floor before. And that is not, that is not fun. It was at a frat party. Sorry, everybody. I guess the rum shot, I hit the wrong way. But otherwise, I don't know. It's not like I want to like sniff it up, but there is something like weirdly comforting or familiar. Like when you remember your childhood, a memory, and you're like, oh, that's kind of what it feels like.
You're like, oh, that's my butt.
So I'm the only person that walks away, like from your own fart?
Oh, no, I sit in it.
Oh, my God. Do you really? You will just purposely sit in it.
This is the woman who can't handle basic perfumes, but your butt stench?
Yeah, it's mine. That's fine.
This is the dumbest conversation.
Except for that one time, which will live in infamy. This was early on dating Bart, right? And we were driving from North Carolina to Kentucky. And I had eaten something that will remain nameless because I don't want to call them out on the air. But every time I eat this food, it does a little something to my tum-tum. And I had an excessive amount of this. We were in the car and he was driving and I was in the passenger seat and we had the dog in the back seat. And I was ripping them left and right, and they were so foul. Like, Bart was coughing, and his eyes were watering. We're driving home for Thanksgiving, and it was freezing outside. But he was like, F you and how cold you are. He was rolling down both windows, and then he'd roll them back up. and I'd rip it again. And he'd be like, Christian! And you have to roll the windows back down. I was laughing so hard. I was laughing so hard. I was crying. And I mean, for like a solid 20 minutes. Like, I couldn't. Because, I mean, I wasn't going to sit there and hold a fart for an 8-hour drive back to Kentucky. So I had to release the demons, and there was nowhere else to do it.
You don't even do like a little sample fart just to make sure it's okay for it's family friendly? Oh, like a no. little one just to go, like, okay, yep. that's bad. I can't do a full one.
Oh, dude, yes.
We'll test them.
<We'll> test them.
Yesterday.
I do it all the time.
I do not test. We don't have, there's no time for tests. We don't do tests here. But it happened, it was yesterday. Jimmy was sitting in my lap on the bed, and I know exactly what I ate. It was the ramen for sure that did it. And I, it wasn't the stench. It was like the loudness and the forcefulness of it. And Jimmy's sitting on my lap, and I do it. And even Jimmy turned around and looked at me, and then Bart, and I was pointing at Jimmy. He's like, absolutely not. And I was like, it was me.
I had this long flight last week, right? It was like a 10-hour flight. You ever been on a flight and you smell somebody's fart? And you start to get pissed because yes. it's so bad because yeah. you can't figure out who it is.
Yes, all the time.
That's how I was too. So I'm looking around and I'm just doing like a FBI profile on who it could be. Like, this dude, I bet. This guy right here who's been eating all this airplane food right here. This is the guy. I've wanted to like kick the back of his chair, but it was all circumstantial evidence.
I know that feeling very
well. We just talked
well.
About farts for 7 minutes.
Yeah, we did.
That's fun.
We just got paid for that, you guys.
The Burt Show.